You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Great to be with you. The president spoke with Vladimir Putin. They had a very long conversation, 2 hours. We are on the precipice now of having some serious negotiations toward peace, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we will talk about that as the show continues. And there's also some breaking news. There was a major radio outage at Newark Airport, and the FAA has issued a ground delay at Newark Airport over staffing issues. So if you are flying out of Newark, Definitely call ahead. I mean, absolutely call ahead 100%. Before I go to my guest, I just want to replay Dr. Zeke Emanuel from this morning because it ties into what we're going to talk about with Bill. This is cut number 4. This is a prominent physician, the brother of Rahm Emanuel, Dr. Zeke Emanuel, cut 4.
Zeke, you're an oncologist, obviously, incredibly respected. You believe that it is likely, just for those just tuning in, you believe it is likely if this prostate cancer has spread to the bone that he could have had it for up to a decade, but certainly it's likely. Would it be fair to say it's likely to have had this for at least several years?
Oh, more than several years. You don't get prostate cancer.
I just want to stop you. So this is not speculation. If you have prostate cancer that is spread to the bone, then he's most certainly, you are saying, had it when he was president of the United States.
Oh, yeah. He did not develop it in the last 100, 200 days. He had it while he was president. He probably had it at the start of his presidency in 2021. I don't think there's any disagreement about that.
All right. That's a good entree to our guest, our buddy Bill D'Agostino. He is senior research analyst at the Media Research Center. Follow him on X at @band_Bill. Bill, how are you today on this Monday?
I'm doing all right. I'm reeling a little bit from the pace of the news cycle at this point, but that's a good kind of busy, not a bad kind of busy. So
yeah.
Been good.
I think we all are. It's difficult to keep up. It really is, and it just keeps changing every 5 minutes. It seems like, but Friday was right. the Robert Herr tapes come out. And I played one of them before. I'll play the second one. But clearly you can hear Biden is just, it's very obvious these were damaging. And then all of a sudden we're told he's got prostate cancer. You just heard Zeke Emanuel there, an oncologist, a smart guy, a Democrat, by the way, saying that Biden had this probably at the start of his presidency. So are we just supposed to believe that on Friday, as the Robert Herr tapes come out, they just decide, or Biden just learns about it on Friday?
No. We're supposed to, but no, we're not doing that. I think that the plan was, look, this really damaging tape just came out. This really damaging book is coming out. This is going to reflect incredibly badly on us, mm-hmm. the former Biden administration and the Democrats. And we need to get people to stop talking about this. But we don't really control the news cycle right now because we have no part of the trifecta. We don't have Congress. We don't have the White House. So what we're going to do is make it illegal in a manner of speaking to talk about Biden's declining mental health. And you saw this a little bit with David Axelrod, which I think that you have a clip for that.
Yeah.
So I won't spoil that. But basically the idea is, listen, Biden is sick. He's dying. OK, so don't talk about this.
Yeah.
This is awful. Right. And so if Trump criticizes it, they say the president is attacking a dying man. Or if Republicans criticize him, or if conservative media criticize him, right? Like I can already see the compilation uh-huh. on MSNBC that they're going to play tonight, right? Of Fox News and Newsmax and whoever else talking about the cover-up. And they're saying they are talking about his mental health while he is dying. These people are ghoulish, right? That's the whole play here. I don't think it works, though.
No, and we're not allowed to talk about the pardons, whether or not those pardons were actually legally issued by the president or somebody just did it on their own. We can't talk about any of these things. There's a lot of parallels here to John Fetterman. I mean, I remember after that debate with Dr. Oz, and I said, based on that debate, he should not run. He clearly needs to get better. And I was told I was mean, I was ghoulish. And now, since the Democrat Party doesn't like his policies, now they're all saying that he needs to resign. He's sick. He's not well. I'm so sick and tired of these people deciding when it's okay for us to say something and when it isn't.
Right. And I don't think that they get to make that decision.
No.
I think that once upon a time, they genuinely did get to make that decision because there wasn't enough high profile conservative media out there. There wasn't enough of a groundswell of support for that among the electorate. And the Republican Party were basically just dead fish throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right. So they basically got to determine what we could and couldn't talk about, when we could talk about things. That's not the case anymore. We're not playing that anymore. Times have changed and they would do well to know what time it is because their power is waning and they need to start telling the truth. Because if they're going to do more of this David Axelrod crap and say, look, you can't talk about him this way. You can't talk about the decline. That's old news. Then they've got another thing coming because we're going to talk about it. The president's going to be talking about it. Republicans in Congress are going to be talking about it. And nobody's going to stop anybody.
Remember last week, too, I think it was Zeke's brother, Rahm Emanuel, who was on The View saying it's time to turn the page. We got to look forward. We can't look back anymore. We got to look forward. You remember that?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, which is code for please stop talking about this. It's uncomfortable.
Please stop writing about it. These books aren't helpful. Stop doing this because it really shows that we were engaged in the biggest political cover up of our lifetime. And we know the Democrat base is mad at us because we could have gotten Biden out of the race and maybe had a primary and maybe had an open convention and maybe a better candidate could have come along. But we didn't allow that to happen. So they were stuck with the worst candidate in the history of politics, Kamala Harris, and they lost. And now they have Donald Trump and the Democrat leadership, the elites are to blame. So, of course, the Democrat elites like Rahm Emanuel are saying, well, time to look forward now. Time to look forward. Give me a break.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's like imagine a husband cheats on his wife and she's trying to file a divorce. And he says, honey, come on. Like, can we not dwell on the past? Can we look forward?
Yeah.
Can we not be so mired in history in this relationship? Please.
It's such gaslighting.
It feels like.
It really is.
Yeah.
I played part one. Let me play part two of the Her audio, Bill, because it really ties into everything we're talking about here. So this is, as the clip continues here, and Biden appears to repeat himself and, again, needs people helping him, the confusion around his son Beau's death. This is Joe Biden speaking with the special counsel, then special counsel Robert Hur, cut number 9.
But that's when Trump gets sworn in.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Correct.
And in 2017, Beau had passed, and this is personal. Genesis of the book and the title Promise Me Dad was a I know you're all close with your sons and daughters, but Bo is like my right arm, and that was my left. These guys were a year and a day apart, and they could finish each other's sentences. And Bo, I used to go home on the train, and the period that I was still in the Senate. Anyway, there was pressure, not pressure. Bo knew how much I adored him. And it sounds so. Everybody knew how close we were. There was not anybody in the world who wondered whether or not. Anyway. And so.
Sir, I'm wondering, is it time to take a break?
No, let me just keep going to get it done.
I mean, Bill, this is October of 2023. And he clearly cannot get through this interview, and he's trying to fall back on the sympathy card, because this is what Biden always does, that it's, right. You know, he's just choked up about his dead son. I mean, come on.
And I think it might be even more than that. Look, I'm not a neurologist. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist, whatever. But it kind of reminds me of this story about Reagan that one of my teachers told us all in high school. Because, you know, he had senility near the end of his life.
Yep.
And at a certain point when he was, like, really fading, he supposedly needed to be reminded that he'd ever even been the president. But there is this one story that he kept telling people, like all these well-wishers who were coming in and out, about when he was a lifeguard, when he was 17, and saved these two boys from drowning. And the idea behind that was that there are some memories that are so, like, emotionally impactful for you that they become like a fiber of your being, right? They're woven into who you are as a person. And apparently the presidency wasn't as important to him as that was. This might be partially that. Like, I genuinely believe that Joe Biden is, like, deeply, deeply emotionally traumatized by the death of his son. And I wonder if we saw him fading into that so often because he would lose his train of thought. And then that was basically all that was left in his head, was just like, did I mention I lost a son?
Yeah. 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 And then forgetting key details around it. And it's really tough to listen to. And obviously this comes out on Friday. And then that's the same day they announced the cancer diagnosis. So it's like double pile on, because now people are attacking the special counsel. Like, how dare this guy go down this road of a dead son? How dare he bring up the dead son? I mean, they're acting like Robert Hur was trying to pull on Joe Biden's heartstrings to throw him off. And that's not the case right at all in any way, shape or form. But it was
as if Biden needed prompting to start talking about Bo.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, right. You could ask him how the weather was today and he would start talking about Bo. Right. Like, Robert Hur did not need to get him onto that topic.
No, exactly. Exactly. Bill DeAgostino is with me, Media Research Center. All right. So that brings us to then David Axelrod. And we talked about this now. Now saying that we got to set this aside here. So cut 35.
His medical condition now, his announced medical condition now. Do you believe that silences or delays a lot of conversations about his, you know, last year and a half of his presidency for now?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think those conversations are going to happen, but they should be more muted and set aside for now as he's struggling through this.
Muted, Bill. We can't talk about this now. We have to be muted. I mean, that is so frustrating to me.
Yeah.
The idea that we can't have this conversation as if one has to do with the other, you know?
Right. And the phrase "for now" really sticks out to me. For now, as he's struggling through this. Okay, so what does that mean? Until he's miraculously cured and or dies?
Yeah.
And certainly if he passes, it's not going to be appropriate to talk about it right after he's passed, right? So how long is for now, Mr. Axelrod? I suspect that it is for as long as Republicans control the Justice Department. That's what I think for now means. Because now we're going to be looking into, for example, the auto pen,
right?
How many of these things did Biden actually knowingly approve?
Right.
How many of these executive orders? How many of these pardons? And I mean, this one's not going anywhere, but it's a fun point. I saw Jack Posobiec yesterday talking about, is Ketanji Brown Jackson a legitimate Supreme Court justice? I don't know. Does anybody know?
Right. Yeah, I don't think any of this goes anywhere, but they don't want to go there because they don't want to acknowledge that they should have removed this guy using the 25th Amendment, and they put our nation at risk here, and they don't want to acknowledge that.
The 25th Amendment, which, by the way, was discussed basically
nonstop with Trump, nonstop.
At least once a month. We made a compilation video about this, actually. It shows them talking about the 25th Amendment. Like, there's at least one conversation about it on broadcast and cable, liberal cable TV every month. Like, throughout all of Trump's presidency, we found at least one clip for each month because it was constant. And it wasn't about any kind of infirmity. It was just like, yeah, we just think he's crazy.
I remember he
must just be nuts.
I remember the one guy was talking, I think it was Michael Wolff, the author, who was saying, well, they would have conversations. Yeah. Well, is it 25th Amendment bad? You know, is it, it's bad, but is it 25th Amendment bad? They would have these conversations. This was the reason why there's a 25th Amendment is this. And they did not act on it. So there's that aspect of it. But then the other part, too, which I don't think enough of us in conservative media realize, is that you got a party here that was so duped by their leadership, which led to them getting this terrible candidate, which led to them losing. I think there's a lot of anger in the Democrat base out there. I really do. And that's not a story you hear about because MSNBC is not going to cover that. CNN's not going to cover that. Van Jones mentioned it. But yeah, Bernie's talking about it. But there's a lot of very angry grassroots Democrats. I would be furious if I were them. I absolutely would be.
I mean, and let's expand the scope here, the period of time, right? Okay, so Bernie essentially gets his nomination stolen from him, right, in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He essentially gets his nomination stolen from him in 2020 when every candidate except for Joe Biden, including some who outperformed Joe Biden in Iowa, all of them drop out simultaneously the same day. Drop out.
Except for
all endorse Biden.
Except
all
for
endorse Biden. Except for Bernie.
And Elizabeth Warren, because she was there to help cut into his base.
Right. Right. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And then it showed that she wasn't eating away enough. And so then she endorses Biden too. And so Bernie is forced out of the race. And then they shoehorn this bag of bones in again. And what do you think happens? Right? I mean, yeah, they should be furious. They should be utterly incensed. And I mean, it's this intense irony does not escape anybody, I think, that it is the Democratic Party that is having the most undemocratic primaries in existence, right? I mean, it is literally the smoke-filled rooms, the oligarchies of old, in the old system, right, before things changed to the primary process, the open primary. That's what you're seeing now. The Democratic voter has not picked a candidate in two decades.
Yeah, I mean, yes, yeah, exactly right. And they didn't even have a choice about whether or not their convention was going to be open or not. They were just told it wasn't going to be. It wasn't like they had a real vote to say we should have a closed convention here and just go with Kamala Harris. Again, that's what they were dictated. Their entire structure with superdelegates and how they run that party is exactly that. And that's the difference with the Republican Party. I mean, Donald Trump, to get where he is, he had to fight and overcome the Republican establishment. But that's an establishment that just didn't like a guy like him. That there were not maneuvers in place to keep him from getting the nomination. The Republican Party, if they could have at the time, they would have used them to stop him.
Absolutely. And,
right. I mean,
absolutely,
we talked about that. We talked in 2016. Will they use it at the convention? Will they try something to maybe put Ted Cruz in there? There was no way for them to do it. That's the difference between these two parties.
Right. It is. They are explicitly the undemocratic one. And so, yeah, they should be furious. A lot of voters probably are furious, but I don't think they're going to demand that any heads roll.
No.
Because
who do they demand?
At this point, any heads that roll at this point are basically just political victories for the Trump administration. Right. And so they're sort of between a rock and a hard place. It's a good day not to be an average Joe Democrat voter.
You got a new video. You put this out, Bill. Did you create this one? Cut 36 of all these journalists. Well done. This is why I'm telling you, you got to follow Bill on X at @band_Bill. He puts together these compilations. So give us a little tease about what this is.
This is the truth-telling media, who are very intense about misinformation, politely informing everybody about Biden's mental state in just factual terms.
Let's take a listen.
If you're concerned about Joe Biden's age, you probably don't know Joe Biden.
It's not just making an issue of Biden's age. It's lying. It's saying he's senile. It's saying he's demented. Saying he's out of it.
Biden is actually in good shape.
Right. Mentally, he's quite acute.
Any aide who engages with him or reporters, we can see this. The gears of his mind are working.
The right-wing media has so fixated on Biden and Biden purportedly having cognitive issues.
Russian television has been filled with speculation about President Biden's age, about his mental state of mind.
That's an issue pushed by right-wing media, but it's not correct.
Yeah, Republicans on the other side have spent 4 years almost kind of weaponizing Biden's age against him. Trump is not that much younger than him.
Biden is just a couple of years older than Donald Trump.
Why so much attention on Biden's age? Trump isn't much younger.
This whole vein is really, really unseemly. I mean, ageism.
I'm going to say quite bluntly, there is some ageism going on here.
Yeah, I think there is some ageism going on.
Biden's personal physician wrote that he, quote, remains a healthy, vigorous 80-year-old male.
He is a healthy, vigorous 80-year-old male.
He had a good physical. His doctor says he's vigorous.
The reality is nothing like the dystopian picture that the Republicans are trying to paint of this senile, doddering president. And he's as sharp as a tack.
Sharp as attack, Bill. Sharp as attack.
Yeah, so the obvious, everybody knows that this is wrong. The reason I felt the need to put this together is because the media are infuriating me with all of this hand-wringing, pearl-clutching, running around going, I can't believe the Biden administration lied to all of us like this.
Yeah.
We had no idea. And it's like, yeah, no, you did. You did, and you lied about it. The Biden administration were also lying. They were not lying to the reporters. The reporters were helping the Biden administration lie to the rest of us. And it didn't work. It was clear as day. Because despite all the coverage that you just saw in that compilation, the majority of Americans in every poll, every time they asked it, would say, yeah, he seems too old. Yeah, he seems not completely in control. He seems not to be all there. So it didn't work, but they were doing it. Everybody knows that the media were a part of this. And this Jake Tapper book, trying to only focus on the Biden administration, is an attempt to claim that they're the ones at fault. It's an attempt to cauterize the wound, essentially, right? Just put all of the blame over here on a bunch of people who it's now politically expedient for us to blame, because Biden's certainly not running again. Kamala, I don't know if she thinks she's going to run again, but she's not. They're not going to let her. And so it costs them nothing to blame these people, right? But there is plenty enough blame to go around for the entire media. Every single person in that video that you just saw should never be believed when they say anything ever again. They should be forced out of the public sphere.
Ever again. Well said, my friend. Bill, thank you as always. Bill D'Agostino, follow him on X at @band_Bill and check out the great work of the Media Research Center. And Newsbusters as well. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks a lot, man. Take it easy.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
That's why I got to have the Media Research Center. You got to keep tabs on these people. All right, listen, Dr. Mike Veneria. My whole family goes to him, including Reagan, who there's a new Chef Reagan video posted. She's now at the point now where she comes out and says, hi, it's Chef Reagan here. It's pretty cute. Anyway, Dr. Mike is great. He's our family dentist. Mom Azuli first discovered him for our family, and you should book your complimentary implant consultation, because dental implants are hard stuff. You got to make sure you go to the best dentist, not the closest. And there's a lot of these chain dental offices out there too. Don't do that. And don't just take my word for it. For over 10 years, 10 consecutive years, Dr. Mike has been ranked as a master of dental implants and a master of dentistry among his peers. Other dentists send their patients to Dr. Mike. Two locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Easy to get to from wherever you are. So I'm saying if you're in PA, if you're in Delaware, wherever you are in Jersey, make sure you go see Dr. Mike. 856-786-2020 or VanariaDental.com. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Great people in the office, great music playing, and we are now in picture season. We've got graduations, we got family reunions, we got all this stuff happening. So make sure you see Dr. Mike today. And if you have gotten an implant consultation, get a second opinion by going to VanariaDental.com. And trust me when I tell you, you will love, love, love the care you get. And this is the time of year now. You got to see a dentist. It's really important for your overall health. VanariaDental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Got a lot.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Going on, by the way, and I have no idea what he's talking about, Justin, just so you know, but Johnny Cook doesn't like the version of Rocket Man that you're playing. He wants William Shatner's version of Rocket Man.
I mean, Elton John's the classic one. I mean, William Shatner's not bad, but I would much prefer to hear Elton John.
Well, should we play Shatner, or can we not now because of the copyright stuff? I don't even know if we can.
We can play a quick like snippet of it. I'll try and bring up like the.
I'll tell you what, why don't we do it as a return, and then I won't talk. This way you can get it out of the podcast. This way we don't risk anything.
Okay.
We'll do that. And then we can decide.
Sounds good to me.
I mean, because, you know, Shatner is legend, Justin, obviously, as we know.
So. Yeah, of course.
But, I mean, Kim Jong-un, Rocket Man. Trump really made that song famous again because of that. Rocket Man. You remember the scene in Alcatraz? He goes, you know Rocket Man? He goes, I don't listen to soft blank. That scene in The Rock? No, that just came to my head. I don't know. These things that come to my head. Did you see the new Superman trailer yet?
I did see the new Superman trailer, and I'm getting more excited as we get closer and closer.
Yep, it looks really good. I'm excited. I'm very excited for it. Matt DeSantis, do you know who Superman is?
I'm aware of who Superman is, yes. The trailer, I don't know.
Oh, here we go.
Well, okay. I'm excited to see it. I hope it's good, but I feel like I've been burned so many times by these superhero movies in the last 4 or 5 years that my expectations aren't that high. Although it is James Gunn directed, I do like James Gunn, and I think that's the only reason I have any hope for it being even moderately good.
Yeah. Look, I'm just going to say this. My daughter Claire is a very tough critic. She's 8, and she loved the original Superman. She doesn't like a lot of superhero movies. She's excited to see the trailer. She's excited to see the movie after watching the trailer. So,
Because of the dog?
The dog doesn't hurt, I'll tell you that. Kids having crypto dogs in there, kids do love dogs. They really do. Like the White House dogs, cocaine White House dogs, my blockbuster movie, which is going to be huge.
I feel like you shouldn't market that to the children.
Oh, it's a kids movie. It's a family-friendly kids movie. Cocaine White House dogs. We'll do an animated version. The dogs can talk, you know. Hey, hey. What was Major, right? Was Major and Commander? I think those were the names, weren't they?
Yeah.
Major. Did you do a line of coke on the South Lawn this morning? I sure did, Commander. I think it was Hunters? I think so. You know, and then, Secret Service agent,
So, you know what? It's smart. It is smart to market to kids because when the holiday season rolls around, you'll be able to sell a ton of merchandise.
It's all about the merch. Hollywood wants to know, can we get merch? And you can have cocaine White House dog action figures. You can even have the kind that bark and attack people's ankles and attack them.
The Build-A-Bear collab is going to go insane.
See? Exactly right, Justin. Exactly. And you guys are missing the whole thing. You have themed cocaine theme dog nights where people bring their cocaine fueled dogs for walks and parties.
That's fun.
Dog walks, right? The whole community.
You're just thinking outside of the box here. I had never even thought about that.
Cocaine dog pet hotels. If your dog is addicted to cocaine like Biden's dogs were, you bring him to the cocaine dog. We might, you know what I mean? Take care. Or rehab. Dog rehab. Go on vacation with your family, drop the dog off a week later, he's off the cocaine. You know what I mean? So, I'm just saying. This former aide to Dr. Jill Biden, who I think Dom had on his show earlier today, this guy said that the Biden White House covered up everything, including the dogs. Even the freaking cocaine dogs were covered up, too. They were nothing. They were authentic about nothing. There was nothing these people were honest about. And it's just amazing to me. You have that clip, Matt? Was that the one you have?
Yeah, I got it. It's 38.
All right, take a listen.
If you only knew how hard it was. I mean, this was a group in the White House who were allergic to transparency. And I go back to my, and I'm just talking about like just in the East Wing. I mean, the very first day walking into the White House, the usher was fired and I couldn't get reporters straight answers because nobody would give me straight answers.
It's nothing. He went on to say, we should get him on the show. Maybe we couldn't get answers on the dogs. They couldn't get transparency on nothing. There was nothing, nothing. By the way, just so you know, there's a lot of people who are being very critical of Kash Patel and Dan Bongino after they gave their verdict of Jeffrey Epstein. They also talked about the assassination in Butler, too. Matt, that clip's on Grabe, and see if you can grab that for me, if you would, please. And I want to get into that in the 5 o'clock hour. But I just, you know, from my perspective here. And I know people are going to get mad at me when I say this, but because we had a caller to the show who made this comparison to the Qatari jet to the Statue of Liberty. And I said, it's not the same thing. But if you think it is, you'll be happy to know that the Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, who's a brilliant guy, agrees with you. And he thinks it's the same thing. It's not the same thing because it's not a gift to America. It's a gift to the president. And regardless of that, I just think politically for Trump, it's just he's just asking for trouble. And I don't want to see him get into political trouble. So I do not think it's a good idea to take this jet. But I also think the comparison is ridiculous. If you're giving a jet to the United States to be on display for everybody to look at and view and take tours of, that's one thing. Because the Statue of Liberty is a statue that people can go take tours of. It's not, you're not flying around in it and enjoying the luxury of that. It's certainly not going to be open to the American people. I think this is a terrible comparison. But either way, if Democrats get control, they're going to go after Trump on this. I just don't know why we would give them the entree to this over a freaking plane. It's just not that important. It's just not that important in the big scheme of things to risk the political headache that this stupid plane gets. But considering that we had callers to the show, particularly one, who brought up a Statue of Liberty comparison, and I told him it was a stupid comparison, and it is. And I'm going to say the same thing to Scott Bessent. It's a stupid comparison. Cut 15.
You're a hard-nosed businessman. Even if Qatar isn't asking for anything in return now for the jet, I mean, that's a bill that could come due. Nobody in the Middle East gives things just to, or in any, anywhere in the world, just gives a $400 million jet just to be nice.
Well, I don't know, Jake. The French gave us the Statue of Liberty. The British gave us the Resolute Desk. I'm not sure they asked for anything in advance. And the more important airplane deal was there's $100 billion of orders from Qatari Airlines to Boeing. Kelly Ortberg, the CEO of Boeing, was with us in the Middle East. This is the biggest order in the country's company's history. So I think that plane deal is much more important than this other one.
Well, I will just say about the Statue of Liberty, I mean, that was authorized by Congress, and it belongs to the American people. It doesn't belong to whoever was president at the time.
Well, I think that this plane would be a gift to the American government.
The American government or the president? And if you're going to do it, you better do it the right way, which it means Congress authorizes it for use by the president, and not just this one, but every president. Meaning it doesn't go into his museum. It becomes a plane that is used by the president, every president, like the Resolute Desk, which was not taken by the president and then put into his personal office when he left the White House. If you're going to make that comparison, then you have to do it right, which is that the plane does not go to the president. It goes to the presidency. That's very different than what they originally said, which is that it would go to Trump and that it would end up in his library. No, absolutely not. And Congress needs to authorize it so that you don't have to worry about Democrats using this to impeach the president, saying he violated the Emoluments Clause. But you just don't need that headache. Here is Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, speaking on the issue. Cut 17.
I'm glad you brought up this question because I was watching the American press spew a lot of misinformation about the plane donation last week when we were abroad. Let's be very clear. The government of Qatar, the Qatari family, has offered to donate this plane to the United States Air Force, where that donation will be accepted according to all legal and ethical obligations. It will be retrofitted to the highest of standards by the Department of Defense and the United States Air Force. This plane is not a personal donation or gift to the President of the United States. And everyone who wrote that last week should go and correct their stories, because this is a donation to our country and to the United States Air Force. As for a timeline, because it is the United States Air Force that is accepting the plane, I would defer you to them for specifics, because the president, frankly, has nothing to do with it. It's the Air Force's project to take on.
Now, that's different than the legal guidance that was given by Pam Bondi, who said the president can take it personally and then put it in his library. That is different than what Caroline Leavitt just said. If it is a gift to the Air Force and it is going to be used by this president, and then the next president, and the president after that, and after that, and after that, then it's fine, as long as Congress accepts it like it accepted the Statue of Liberty, and it does not wind up in a presidential library. That is different than the guidance that the Attorney General gave, and I'm sorry, the Attorney General was wrong when she gave that guidance that it could go into President Trump's museum. No. No. So if you're going to do it that way, do it the right way so that you don't run into an issue if Democrats get control of Congress, because they're just looking for an issue. All right. The other thing, too, that I wanted to mention to you, and this is kind of a, you know, look, I mean, it's frustrating to me. I don't really understand exactly. Yeah. I don't know what's up with Kash Patel and Dan Bongino. I don't know. I just have a hard time believing Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. I really do. I have a hard time believing this. And you know, why would they be out there saying this? They'd be out there saying this because Jeffrey Epstein was an intelligence asset. And now that they're in there and they see that and they have the confirmation of that, they've got to go with that because we're covering up the fact that Jeffrey Epstein was an intelligence asset. And, but you're never going to convince me this guy killed himself. I don't care I don't care what you say. I'm sorry, but there's no friggin' way you're ever going to convince me of this. But here's what they say regarding their verdict on this. And both of these two men were quite skeptical when they were not in the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And I think the reality is this. It's not that they saw something magical that we have not seen in terms of proving that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. It's just that they now know what we've always suspected, which is that Jeffrey Epstein was an intelligence asset. And they don't want to ever have to admit that. Our government never wants to admit that because we don't want to admit the fact that we use this scumbag to put people in very compromised positions. And so we're going to go along with this lie now, and we're going to go along with covering up evidence and anything that implicates that. And that's just the way it's going to be. And that is disappointing, but not at all surprising. So here is cut 14.
You said Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide. People don't believe it.
Well, I mean, listen, they have a right to their opinion, but as someone who has worked as a public defender, as a prosecutor, who's been in that prison system, who's been in the Metropolitan Detention Center, who's been in segregated housing, you know a suicide when you see one, and that's what that was.
He killed himself. I've seen the whole file. He killed himself.
Sure he did. But it's okay. Fine. You know what? I mean, fine. I don't believe it, but I understand sometimes you're in positions in life where you got to say something that you don't believe, I guess. I don't know. For the sake of national security, you know? I'm fortunate I don't have to do that in my life. I only say things I believe. Sometimes you don't like them, but I don't care. It's what I believe. But I don't, no friggin' way. I'm just calling BS on this one. I think it's obvious, though, why we're playing this game. And it confirms what we've always believed, which is that this guy was an intelligence asset, meaning that our government, used him. We used him knowing what a scumbag he was, knowing what a predator he was. We used him for intelligence purposes, and God, that can never come out. So we're all going to pretend like Jeffrey Epstein really killed himself, and the cameras just magically turned off, and yeah, these things just happen. All right, let's take a quick break. We got a lot more to talk about today, including what did Kash Patel and Dan Bongino say about Butler and the assassination attempt on President Donald Trump. More of the greatest political cover-up of our lifetime, of course, which is Joe Biden and his mental cognitive decline, the fact that he was freaking senile. And let me tell you about Emmons Roofing and Siding, my great friends over there. They're fantastic. I want you to go see them. And 10% off inflation relief discount for you and your family. That's what you get with Emmons Roofing and Siding and windows and doors and so much more. Emmons even has a bathroom remodeling division. Listen, protection, peace of mind, and craftsmanship are all paramount. That's why Emmons is my go-to contractor. You go to callemmons.com, CALLEMMONS, callemmons.com. The finest materials, the finest craftsmanship, great people all involved every step of the way. And whether it is a bathroom remodel, whether it's a kitchen upgrade, whether it's those new beautiful Anderson windows, or it's a roof with a lifetime warranty, they serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And you can trust the team at Emmons like I've trusted them over the last 10 years in two different homes. Very grateful for their hard work, their dedication to detail, their dedication to craftsmanship. That's the Emmons difference, and they're with you every step of the way. 10% off inflation relief discount for you. Just tell them I sent you. EmmonsRoofing.com or call Emmons.com. Emmons Roofing.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Probably can't keep that in the podcast, but we just played the William Shatner version of Rocket Man. Justin, what was your critique of that?
Now, mind you, love William Shatner, legend, yes. But Johnny Cook is smoking reefer if he likes the Shatner version more than the Elton John version.
That was really bad. I think Johnny was playing a joke on us, obviously, right?
I hope so.
Clearly playing a joke on. That was Shatner wasn't even singing. He was just talking.
Yeah, just spoken word.
Yeah, it was like a haiku. Was it even a song? All right, that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental.com, VanariaDental.com. We got a big 5 o'clock hour straight ahead for you. Breaking news all over the place. Don't go away.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.